New season, new year, new chance. Let's go.
No challenge too difficult.
No sacrifice or self-denial too great.
Captain, ready, bring
team first. Team last.
Team always.
After a day off yesterday, the practice fields were busy once again at the University at Albany. The Giants back at practice at training camp. Just over a week left in camp for the New York Giants as they get ready for their first preseason game at Jacksonville on Friday night. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, everybody. It's presented by Andrew Mark. I'm John Schmelk, and today's special guest host is former Giants punter Jeff Feagles. Feagles, how are you?
Doing good. It's great to be back up here.
Now, the one guy, it happened all three years, you're on the team. People confuse me for you from a distance all the time.
There's nothing wrong with that, John. Really, there's really not. We're two good-looking guys, so you got that going for you.
So you have 10 years on me, so you should definitely feel good about that, Jeff. No question about it. How's everything going? How was practice? Had a chance to watch the team. How was the energy?
I thought the energy was good. And, you know, a lot of times when you come off of a day off, it seems to be that the guys get rested and they get their energy back up. I saw that on the field today. I think that Coach Coughlin was pleased with what was happening out there, other than a couple things that happened with injuries today, mild ones that we'll talk about, I'm sure. But overall, I thought the energy was good. I think the guys are ready to go. Friday, their first game. That's always exciting. As an ex-player now, I remember coming into that week into our first preseason game. It's you know you're getting close to real football season again when that first preseason comes.
Now, Jeff, there was some news today and good news on the injury front for the Giants. First of all, Chase Blackburn and Michael Boley both back at practice. But better news than that, Terrell Thomas is not going to have to undergo surgery. He got a third opinion yesterday from Dr. James Andrews, and the consensus is he's not going to require surgery at this time. They're going to try to rehab the knee, strengthen it, get him back on the field. Now, there's no timetable. They're going to take their time with Terrell, hope he gets back soon. But, Jeff, that's got to be a sigh of relief that he doesn't have to go through another ACL surgery.
Well, the ACL is that's the worst, and it takes so much time. So that is good news, both for Terrell, and we wish him the best of luck with that, and for the team and the Giants fans, knowing that, you know, possibly he could come back soon. And, you know, we always talk about in football that when one person goes down, the next guy has to step up. So this is a good opportunity for those other cornerbacks that are trying to earn a position on this team, that 53-man roster. When something like this happens, they have to take advantage of it.
And, of course, this show is interactive. You can give us a call at 518-437-3774 or tweet on Twitter at #GiantsChat. Send in your questions. We'll get them to Jeff. He'll answer them for you. But for now, let's go to our very busy phones. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Justin Miller. I'm from Crestville, New Jersey.
What's your question, Justin? What's up?
Well, the Giants had 41 first downs. Their rush power percentage was 52%, and they had 18 attempts that went for 10 yards or more by rushing through the second and third offensive line gaps. According to these 2011 stats, the Giants tended to rush forward more. Well, David Wilson may be strong and elusive, but as a 5'10", 206-pound running back in the NFL from Virginia Tech, who rushed mostly through the fourth to ninth gaps of the offensive line, as seen on many of his highlight reels, do you think he can get accustomed to rushing forward more than to the sides like he's used to doing in college?
A lot of numbers there, Jeff.
Wow, that's good. Nice research done.
Yeah,
by the way.
Seriously.
We should hire you for our show. No, you know what? That is a question for him. And I think that the size is one thing, and not only for running the football, but also for blocking. I think that is a big question with him. This young man is going to be able to really have to take on some of these linebackers and defensive ends that are coming in and rushing to him. But, you know, more importantly for his raw position of what he does running the ball, we have seen how he's very fast, very agile. He's going to get stronger. He's going to get bigger. Coach Palmieri is going to put him in the weight room. And, you know, they got three squares over there behind us, John, for some meals. So he'll bulk up a little bit, but I think he'll be okay.
And they did run him outside a lot at Virginia Tech. He will have to get better between the tackles on the pro level. 518-437-3774. Back to our phones. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Caller, you there?
Hello?
Yeah, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, this is Devon from Brooklyn.
What's up, Devon? What do you want to say?
I just want to say I love this show. Great work you guys are doing.
Appreciate it.
I want to know, how is Eli Manning looking in this offseason compared to previous ones?
So, Jeff, you see him in a lot of training camps. What do you think?
You know what? I don't think that you're really going to see a difference between Eli 2 years ago and last year and this year, because I think he just goes about his business. And I think that at the end of every season for Eli, he sits down with Coach Gilbride and Coach Coughlin, and they identify things that he has to get better at. And I think through the course of those of this preseason, those are the things you're going to see him work on. So as far as him getting better or worse, I think he's just very steady Eddie, and that's Eli, and we all know him for that. But I think one thing that he's working on, I think he's really trying to concentrate, is cutting down on his interceptions, being a little bit more putting the ball where he wants it to be, and not have the propensity for somebody to intercept it.
And sometimes a punt is a good thing. Of course, I'm talking to a punter.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you don't want to throw an interception, you give the team good field
position. Throw it away, or, you know, just have the punter come back there, flip the field for you, and get it the next possession.
I want to touch a couple other news, pieces of news, rather, from today's practice. William Beede did not go. He's still trying to get back from that back injury. He's dealing with the sciatica, Jeff. As a guy who's had some back injuries in the past, what is it like trying to get back from an injury like that? And can you really even pinpoint a timetable here? It's really different from guy to guy.
It's very tough. It's very tough because that type of injury, it's sneaky. It comes back onto you. You know, you could be feeling really, really good. You could be walking down the stairs, and next thing you know, it acts up again. So that is one thing that he's going to have to, the training staff is going to have to monitor very, very carefully. I think one of the reasons is Sean Locklear is here, a veteran that's been in the league for a long time, will be able to, you know, he's a veteran, so they can count on him just in case Will's not able to come back.
And Coach Coughlin said during practice today that there's been some good and some bad from Locklear during practice. He hopes more good than bad as this training camp moves along here. One other injury, Prince Amukamara, actually two more. Prince first, he had to miss practice today because of a hamstring. Obviously, he missed all year last year with that foot. You want him on the field, but with a corner, you can't roll the dice with a hamstring injury the second week of training camp.
No, you know, just like the wide receiver position or any of those guys that are running all the time, again, you have to be very careful with that. We are still, you know, basically four games away from the regular season, so he has to be smart. But, you know, he needs to be on the football field. He missed a lot of last year, and he came back, played well at the beginning, but then he kind of tailed off a little bit. So he needs to get out there, and he needs to get in these preseason games to get some more game time experience.
Giants' first preseason game comes Friday night at Jacksonville. We'll be heading out on Thursday night, so that'll be fun. Finally, a scary moment during practice today. Defensive tackle Dwayne Hendricks went down, which appeared to be a pretty serious knee injury. They helped him off the field, but at least preliminary reports seem to think it's only an MCL, which doesn't seem to be too bad. He should be back hopefully within
sure.
a week or so.
Only an MCL, John. Only an MCL.
Well, it's a lot better than the ACL.
No question.
It?
It's all a matter of the letters, right? So, but you know, that injury is another thing. He's going to have to strengthen it. Surgery is not going to be required, which is a good thing, and he'll be back. And one thing about that defensive line is it is very, very deep. So there'll be a lot of guys to be able to step in.
All right, this show is interactive. We're taking your calls at 518-437-3774, 518-437-3774. We're also taking your questions on Twitter at #GiantsChat. Let's go to Twitter. This question comes in from No Limos. Hey, Jeff, have you considered coaching or something of that sort at the NFL level?
That's a good question. You know, I've thought about it a little bit. You know, I dabbled in it the first year I retired working with Matt Dodge. I had a lot of fun doing it. But, you know, it really takes a lot of time. A lot of hours are spent coaching, and I think after playing as long as I did in the NFL and seeing how much time away from your family and things that coaches have to put in the NFL, I mean, they're all great coaches. It's a 80-hour work week, and I'm just not ready to do that.
A little breezy here today, by the way, folks. This has been the best weather day we've had at Albany so far. It's been like 80, nice cool breeze. It's really been beautiful.
It's great. Kind of reminds me of the old Meadowlands Stadium up here a little bit.
Nightmares? Is that a good thing?
It's a warm and fuzzy feeling for me.
All right, let's go to the phones at 518-437-3774. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Graham Rule from Jensen Beach, Florida.
What's up, man?
Hey, I'm wondering, in both of your opinions, who do you both think will be the third receiver in the battle against it?
Well, I think that's one of the storylines in camp right now is with Hakeem being out of the lineup, that which guy is going to step up in there. And I think that right now, if I had to say anybody, it would be Hickson, because of the fact that he's a veteran, he's been in that position, he did, you know, so well, and that, unfortunately, he's had injuries. Jerrigan has been a really nice surprise this training camp. He's making great plays. One thing about Jerrigan is that, you know, he was young last year and he's still learning the game. That wide receiver position is a very difficult. There's a lot of reads that they have to pick up, and not only that, they have to be on the same page as the quarterback, Eli. So Eli's in there telling these guys what to do. But there's a lot of guys that are stepping up. And again, when there's an injury, there's always a guy behind him that gets a chance to shine. You're going to see some of those guys on Friday night attempt to shine and try to make a name for themselves.
Reuben Randall, another guy Ramsey's bought, and another guy, it's his fourth season. And talking to Kevin Gilbride Jr., the Giants wide receivers coach, he made the point that when Jerrigan knows the play and he's sure, he plays so much faster than when I'm still trying to figure it out a little bit.
It goes along with any sport. The more confidence you have in what you're doing, the better off you're going to play because you're not thinking. When you start thinking, you start making mistakes. I'm a big golfer, so when you start thinking about you wanting to make putts, if you just react and you know what you're doing, it's going to be a lot easier. Once he learns that playbook, he could be scary.
And, of course, the quarterback that's helping these guys with the playbook is Eli Manning. He's been in the league a long time, and he's helping all these young receivers along. His quarterback's coach is Sean Ryan, his first year on the job. Let's listen to Sean Ryan as he addressed the media earlier in the day.
Every good player, and really a great players like he is, Super Bowl MVP type of players, you almost don't have to do that because they want to get better. You know, he sits down after the season and says, this is what I can improve on and this is what I need to do. And you reinforce that. You bring another, you know, aspect to it. Hey, did you think about this? You know, can we work on this? But those great players, they're that way because they push themselves. So you're not in a position where you're having to always point out to him. He comes to you with things. Hey, I want to work on this. I know I can get better here. So because he's like that as a player, it makes that easy part of my job.
Coach, that said, anything specific Eli is working on this training camp?
Yeah, I think we've spent a lot of time with our movement in the pocket, which was something he improved on last year, but we're continuing to work on. Moving in the pocket and at the same time, you know, keeping our eyes downfield and having good throwing mechanics when we're ready to pull the trigger after we've had to move in and out of the pocket. I think we've focused on that. We've worked on that. It was something he improved on last year. And I think, you know, always your decision making and your ball security year in and year out for every quarterback in the league. But, you know, especially him, he's very, you know, in tune with that and knows how important that is. So it's another thing that we talk about all the time and work on.
Martellus Bennett said probably about a week ago that Eli's really good about communicating and how he wants things. Black and white, it's clear what you're watching.
Yeah.
Do you see that with the communication between those?
Absolutely. And I saw it, as much as a wide receiver coach as I see it now. You know, he would constantly come over to the wide receivers and, you know, hey, this is what I see. This is how I'm seeing this. This is the reaction I'm expecting, and this is what I need you to do. He's very clear with those guys. He puts it in a way that's understandable to the players, you know, and I think that's a great tool. And he's definitely done that with Martellus. You know, Martellus being new to the system, I think just going to him and constantly reinforcing what Martellus is being coached on, but having that reinforced by the quarterback, you know, is always going to help because it makes you believe, hey, I got a good chance of getting the ball. And I think he's done a great job with that. But he does it with all the offense, you know, but especially the new guys.
And that's Eli being a leader, Jeff. And you've seen him mature since his rookie year with the Giants to a two-time Super Bowl champion. What has it been like seeing him become that guy on and off the field?
Well, it's been great. You know, the 7 years, the 6 years I was with Eli, I saw his maturation in the sense that he was always trying to get better. He leads by example, which to me is the way to be a leader. I think the guys look up to him, one, because of his preparation, and his preparation leads to success. Coach Coughlin would tell you that all the time. When you sit in enough team meetings as I did with Coach Coughlin, some of these things come to mind
a little bit. You're still indoctrinated.
Yeah, absolutely. You hear them in your sleep. But you know, Eli has grown up, and I think all Giants fans should be happy that they have a guy like Eli Manning here that can take the team on his shoulders. I mean, we look what he did last year in those 7 comeback wins that they had. It was just incredible. But he has gotten to the point now where he leads by example. Younger guys look up to him, and that's an important thing.
Let's go back to our phones at 518-437-3774. Cole, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm from Westville, Mass.
And what's your name?
My name is Jake.
Go ahead, Jake. What's up?
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Doing well.
Pleasure. I was just wondering how you guys think that Hakeem Nicks, when he comes back, is his maturation and being a veteran, is he going to be able to step back on the field without, you know, any of that work?
Well, I think, you know, the training staff are always very, 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 very selective to when these guys can come back on the field. But when he does, we're going to know he's 100%. They're not going to let him come back unless he's 100%. They're going to kind of just milk him through this preseason. But as far as his maturation, we've seen it. I mean, last year you saw what happens when Hakeem Nicks gets his hands on the football. Big things happen. Now, he's not the fastest guy, but he has what we call field speed. When you're on that field, he may not run a 4.5 or 4.4, but if somebody's chasing him, he might run a 4.2. And not only that, he just makes tremendous big plays. And I know that Eli has really created a nice bond with him and just knows that all I got to do is get the ball in this guy's hand. You know, he'll be back for the regular season, I'm hoping. I'm pretty sure that he will be, and when he does, it's big things. Things will happen.
And he's a guy, too, even if the hamstring's healthy, if you rush him back and he doesn't get his body ready, you know, the hamstrings, the quads, and he pushes too hard too early. He's had injury issues in the past. You don't want him pulling something else if he's not ready.
What happens with injuries is when there's an injury on a certain part of your body, another part of the body is compromised because of it. You know, if you have a knee injury, maybe your left ankle starts hurting because of the fact. So that's where the rehab comes into effect. So they're going to have this guy and Hakeem ready to go.
Now, Jeff was out in the practice field with a very watchful eye on practice, but I saw a little bounce in your step, a little gleam in the eye when Steve Weatherford ran out there and started punting the football. He's kind of really carried your tradition on a little bit here with the Giants. What is it like watching him on the practice field, and what type of punter do you consider Steve Weatherford to be?
Well, I think that Steve is finally he's getting what the position commands, especially in today's game with the returners that are back there. You know, field position, directional kicking, being consistent. I think you saw all that in Steve Weatherford last year, which was really amazing, especially in the playoff runs and in the Super Bowl. So, you know, a coach like Coach Coughlin, who when I was playing, I was specifically told to do X, Y, and Z. Most of the time he did X and Y, maybe not a lot of times Z, but I think that Steve is there, and I think that Tom understands what type of a weapon that he can be. He's got a lot stronger leg than I ever did, so he's going to get a little more distance, but he's really starting to master that sideline, which is important in these days, especially when you're going up that guy down the turnpike for the Eagles.
Now, you won't believe it. Last week they ran a fake punt in practice.
I don't believe it.
No, they did.
Well, with
Weatherford
Steve,
ran around the end,
Steve,
he was so excited,
well,
you should have seen him.
You know, but I always ask Tom, can we do it? They instantly, no. Okay, that's fine.
Well, I guess you have to learn some of Steve's persuasion ways, because he apparently got coached to do it. Back to our phones at 518-437-3774. Cole, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, Len in Columbia, Maryland.
What's up, Len? How are you, pal?
Okay. Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing well.
And Jeff, hello to Jeff.
Thank
and,
you.
You know, a big thank you to Jeff. 5-6 terrific years with us. Really appreciate it, Jeff.
Thank you.
How many were there?
Seven.
It always seems like the Giants, I know recently they had one year in which we struggled with the punt game. But, you know, over the years, and I go back a long way, and I remember Don Chandler punting for the Giants, and we always seem to have a pretty good punt game, and Jeff was just in a long line of terrific punters. And again, great job, Jeff. Really appreciate it. John, a little frustrated on the Terrell Thomas deal. Obviously, good news today, and hopefully the kid works his way back into it. He seems like a good guy, and you know, he's worked hard on trying to get back. I just don't understand why the Giants, I know it's been 11 months since he was hurt, but I just don't understand why the Giants rushed him back. I guess you can get hurt on any kind of play anytime you're moving on a football field and there's a little bit of contact.
Yeah, but Len, you know what? The Giants didn't rush Terrell Thomas back. They looked at the MRIs. They worked his knee out. In fact, they said he was ready to go, Jeff, back in minicamp.
Sure.
He felt healthy. The doctor said it. ACL is secure. It's healed. You can go. But they said, no, we don't want to rush it back.
Right.
Let's wait till training camp. And look, injuries happen. There really is sometimes no way to prevent them.
Every athlete heals differently. Guys, you know, come back for injury quicker. It sounds to me that Terrell was ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
And you know, listen, they're going to be very cautious to put a player back on the field if he's not ready. And I think that he was ready. And unfortunately, like the caller said, injuries can happen at any point in time. I mean, we might be sitting here after the third preseason game and going through the same thing right here.
Yeah.
And people would say, you know, you hurried him back. Why don't you just wait for the regular season? So believe me, the Giants organization understands that they put him on the field at 100%, maybe 110%.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to wait. Ronnie Barnes is not going to rush anybody back before they're ready. It's always safety first. One of the reasons, really, if you talk to free agents, they know that about the Giants, that they really take their players' health and wellness
absolutely
first. And that is really a drawing point for people to come
here. And sometimes that's it's very frustrating for guys like Jerry Reese and Coach Coughlin, because the training staff has really the upper hand in those decision-making with the doctors.
All right, I want to ask you about one other position. on special teams. Tyler Sash is going to be suspended the first four games. Now, he plays that fullback position on the punt team. What is his job in that spot? For the fans that don't know, that's the guy that kind of stands behind the center on the punt team. What is his job? What does he do? And why is it so important and valuable?
Well, he basically is the quarterback of the defensive or the punt team. And he identifies the fronts. He makes the calls. He tells the center which way to go. He picks up the most dangerous man, what we call in football, coming up the middle, and sets the protection for the punt. So once that's done, then it's his job to get down on the field. He's the middle guy. So he's, you know, a lot of times he's not picked up by defenders because he's back so far, so they just let him go. So a guy like Tyler, who's fast, very, very knowledgeable guy, is able to go down there and make some plays. You know, he played all 16 games last year for the Giants and was able to make some good key special teams plays. So that position is very, very important. And what's very important about it is the fact that you have to be a smart guy because defenses are changing up things. And on the punt team, you miss one block, it's going the other way.
And the Giants will try to test out a lot of guys in that spot since they won't have Tyler for the first four games. Back to the phones at 518-437-3774. Cole, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Steve, and I'm from California.
Go ahead, Steve.
How's it going, guys? And my question is, in your opinion, what do you think at this point of time is our weakest area in the game, and do you think we'll be ready during kickoff of the season?
That's a very good question. I think that there's really, for me, John, there's three storylines that are coming into camp.
What do you got?
You know, the linebacking position, the running game, and the wide receiver position, that third, you know, we don't have enough time to talk about all three of them, but I think for me personally is the linebacking crew. We've got, the Giants have a lot of young guys. They got to get on the field. I mean, these guys are getting hurt, and you know, so Jaquan Williams, Greg Jones, they all showed that they could play a little bit last year. The great story, Chase Blackburn, Herzlick. These are guys, to me, that somebody's going to step up into these starting roles. We got Kiwi moving into a new position. So, to me, the linebacking position. And talk about running back, you know, we know Ahmad's the guy, but who's going to be that number two guy?
Well, and that's a good question. Let's head to, it's a Twitter question. Yes, the number Twitter question. Here we go. Who will be the number one running back and the number three wide receiver? Give me the Jeff Fiegel's prediction. Now, you've talked about some of the guys. If you had to guess now who they would be, who would they be?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think the one at running back, we know Ahmad can get it done.
The two?
And the two, right now, to me, it's probably going to be, Danny Ware, just because he's a veteran. He's got size. He knows how to block. I think that the real question with David Wilson is his size and being able to block. But I think that Kevin Gilbride will not put him in positions where he has to take on big guys back there. They're just not going to do it. Kevin Gilbride's a pretty smart guy.
How about the number three wide receiver?
And then probably Hixon. I would put Hixon in there. Obviously, he has to stay healthy. But we know that he can play. And then Randall, the young guy. I mean, I'm watching him today, and what a nice receiver. Big kid, strong,
looks
good
the part,
routes.
Man.
Absolutely. And I see that 82 number on there. It seems like that Mario gained a little weight, you know.
Now, you mentioned the running game, and obviously that has to do with the running backs, but it also has to do with the offensive line. You know Chris Ney and David Deal very well from your time here with the Giants. How annoyed do you think those two guys were last year, being 32nd in the running game?
Well, that definitely annoys everyone, and more importantly, probably Coach Flaherty, who we're going to hear
and
from
Coach
soon.
Coughlin, for that
and
matter.
And Coach Coughlin. But, you know, those two guys being the salty veterans that they are, in the NFL, as watching football, we know that those holes, they come open quick and they close quick. So I think a lot of times the frustration was some of those bigger backs like Brandon not getting through those holes. And I think the one reason that Wilson is here is he's got some speed and be able to go through there. And Ahmad too, if he's healthy. When Ahmad's healthy, he can hit those holes quick.
Well, you mentioned him. Let's go to the man, Pat Flaherty, the Giants offensive line coach. He addressed the media earlier in camp, talked about the running game, the running backs, and trying to improve on that 32nd ranking last year.
Nice having Will Beattie back on the field after battling injuries through OTAs and minicamp.
Yeah, it is. And he's done a nice job. You know, he surely is right now working through the pain in his back, but doesn't show many signs of it. I know from time to time he'll go and get rechecked just to make sure everything's okay. But William has missed so much time, as I mentioned to him the other day. When was the last time you had pads on? First day we put pads on. Well, it was November of 2011. So they felt a little bit different for him, but he worked through it, and he's really progressing very well. I just hope that, as we all do, that, you know, the back holds up for him and is able to continue to to work through it.
Coach, how vital is he to this offensive line?
Well, you know, everybody's vital to the offensive line success because you need as many guys, in particular with the experience that you've had in the past. And Williams certainly fits a very good piece of the puzzle because he can play left tackle athletically, and that allows us to keep David Deal at right tackle and then, you know, work the younger groups into the backup roles, you know, as we see it.
I know one big goal of your group this year is to improve blocking in terms of the running game. What can you do in camp now that you have pads on in terms of teaching to start making those strides?
Well, it's an attitude, and that's where it starts. It starts as an attitude that we're going to run the football, and we're going to knock the defenders out of the gap. Now, we have a very good defensive line, as you well know, but we're going to play against some very good defensive lines. So it's going to be an attitude of our technique's got to be better than theirs, and then the passion and the effort to be able to finish the box, and the coordination with the tight ends and the running backs. I mean, that's as much as anything in the running game, and there's nobody better that directs the running game more so than Eli Manning. You know, all right, he can get us in and out of good plays, but it's up to us. There's very rarely it's going to be a perfect play, all right, but we have to make whatever play is called, we have to execute and make it work and get a crack for a running back to get up in there. That's our job as offensive linemen.
And there you go. Pat Flaherty in the offensive line obviously wants to get that running game better. And it's tough in camp to really judge an offensive line until you see them going against an opponent.
Yeah, and, you know, they're like Coach Flaherty said, they have a good defensive line here at the Giants. And so those offensive linemen are going against some pretty select guys. But one thing that I heard in his interview was the fact that, you know, Eli being able to get them in some running place. So if Eli can get them check out into some passes, into some runs, it would be good for him.
All right, 518-437-3774. Let's go back to our phones. Call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you call it from?
Hello?
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Wayne from Clifton.
Hi, Wayne.
Being that Terrell Thomas is out, who's going to be the third cornerback?
Well, you know, right now I think that Michael Coe, I saw him out there and working in there. I think he's probably the guy right now that's going to, you know, I don't know the answer to that question, Joe.
Well, it could be Cole. It could be Justin Tryon, another guy. You assume Prince is going to move into that number two spot.
Yeah.
You know, so there are a lot of guys in the mix there.
I think Friday is going to be, you're going to see, maybe you might get the answer to that this Friday on paper and maybe see it in the game, but I think you're going to see a lot of guys out there at corner this Friday night.
Let's stick on the phones at 518-437-3774. Also on Twitter at hashtag Giants. Jack Kohler, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm Guan from Hillsborough.
Go ahead, man.
New Jersey. And I just had two quick questions, really. My first question is, what do you think our deepest position going into the next season so far is? And also the position with the most competition looking forward. Thanks.
Well, I think certainly the deepest is our defensive line. All those guys are capable. One player I'm excited to see get back on the field last year, he really wasn't on a lot, is Marvin Austin. You watch him coming out of college, and he's a beast. I think he's a very physical, fast defensive lineman. That position by far is the deepest. I think the most competitive of all the ones is going to be probably that third wide receiver spot. And the running back position.
And it's funny, you lose a guy like Chris Canty, and all of a sudden you still have two veterans in Sean Rogers and Rocky Bernard, two young guys in Linville Joseph and Marvin Austin. You really don't miss a beat. 518-437-3774. Back to the phones. Cole, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Cole, are you there?
Hey, this is Boris from Tom's River.
Go ahead, man.
Hey, guys. I got a question. Amal Bradshaw, he's taken his new leadership role since Brandon Jacobs left. You said he's being more vocal. What do you guys see on the field making him take an adjusting new role as a runner with the Giants?
Well, you know, only being up here for one day, I didn't see much about Ahmad, but I do know from when the years I played with him that, you know, his rookie and his second season, you know, when you got guys like Brandon Jacobs there who, you know, he was a leader himself. So I think the Mod's taking a little bit of that from what Brandon was doing while he was here. So, and him being the older guy now. So I think that he commands that leadership and being vocal, and the younger guys need to learn from him. So, and he's a competitor. I mean, he is a flat out competitor at that running back's position. He's a fighter. He's feisty. We all know. I personally love to watch him run because when he's healthy, he is good.
And everyone says, including running back coach Gerald Ingram, he is doing a better job trying to lead and teach those young running backs
Absolutely.
When they're on the practice field. So that's always a good thing
question.
To see. Stick out our phones at 518-437-3774. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. What's your name?
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Rayvon calling from Virginia.
Go ahead,
Rayvon.
All right. I just wanted to ask a question. Seeing how last year we played towards the end of the season, Coach Few kind of simplified the defense, and the guys were running around a lot faster and everything ran a lot smoother. I was wondering if, you know, the plan was to continue that this year, basically, so we could get off to a good start, basically.
I think that he'll keep it simple. Obviously, in preseason, everything is simple.
You know, it's funny, though, Jeff. I talked to Coach Pugh at the end of last season, and you ask him, so you simplified the defense. He's like, that's really not what happened. No. I just had the same guys out there, so they got used to what I was doing.
Sure.
So it seems simpler.
It seems simpler, and guys, you know, I think it will be easier for guys this year. I don't think he's going to do much more than he did last year, but guys are going to seem smarter because they were in a system for another year coming into this now. So that makes a big difference. The young guys are the ones that are going to have to really pay attention to what's going on. And what's important about these younger guys and systems is to watch the guys in front of you. And a lot of times they get a little distracted at practice. So that's important for them to make sure that they're watching the position, watching these guys and learning. And that's what these walkthrough practices they have at 7:50 every night or 4.
518-437-3774. Cole, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
518-437-3774.
All right, Cole, do me a favor. Call back. You have to turn down your computer and just listen through your phone, okay? There's a delay on the internet, so when you call in and you get put on hold, make sure you turn the volume down on your computer, listen through your phone. Jeff, I want to go to a message boards question here.
All right,
right
let's
now.
Go.
You can submit your questions to the Giants message boards in the morning to boards.giants.com. This one comes in from NYC Sports Fan. Is James Brewer looking like the real deal to you? He has a lot of potential and was the guy that this fan wanted the Giants to pick in the round 4 last year.
Well, you know, a fourth round draft pick, there's a lot of expectations coming out of there. And, you know, last year didn't see much at all of him. And, you know, the injuries this year to him in training camp has set him back a little bit. But I think the Giants coaches and the, you know, the scouting staff and everybody believes in him. But I think the true test will be for James is to get in these preseason games and show the coaches what he can do.
Well, I want to stay on the message boards, Jeff. This time we're going to go to Martyr. He wants to know, have any of the younger offensive linemen stood out to you in the couple days you've been out here watching practice?
I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't seen, you know, much of the younger guys. It's tough to, you know, it really is tough to see things here in training camp. I think the preseason games are when you're really, these guys are, they're going to be graded. They're going to be evaluated. And it's tough to see some of the, you know, in the one-on-one sessions where they're going against the defensive linemen, the younger linemen are going to grow up very quick going against this defensive line
right.
unit here because it's going to make them a lot better. But, you know, the two young draft picks that are here and also some of the Cordell and Nick Pitt, is it Nick? Petras.
Yes.
Petras.
Yeah,
those guys, they're not, you know, they're not particularly young, but they're veterans now. But I think I saw those two guys today. They were looking pretty good.
Back to the phones at 518-437-3774. 518-437-3774. Cole, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Paul from Las Vegas.
Paul, go ahead.
Oh, wow.
Vegas. Nice.
Yeah, Vegas. Yeah, I'm from Staten Island, but I moved out here a couple years ago. But who's going to be starting the punt return? Who they been looking at?
Well, what I saw, we had Jerrigan out there today that was making some really good moves, and I think that you're probably going to be able to see David Wilson maybe back there a little bit.
Reuben Randall's been back
Reuben
there,
Randall,
too.
So,
and Hixon, obviously, has a lot
and,
of experience.
And I think Hixon's going to be the guy, and deservingly so. I mean, he is a legitimate threat when he gets the ball. But, again, all that position, I mean, for years now, the Giants, the return, the punt return has just been very stale. And
it's
I would like to see something happen when we're returning punts this year and big plays come out of that position.
Back to the phones at 518-437-3774. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hello.
What's your name? Go ahead, sir.
This is RJ from Texas.
What's up, RJ?
I had a question. My question was, with the addition of Jaron Hosley and players coming back from injury like Marvin Austin and other key additions such as Sean Rogers, how good do you think the defense can be this year compared to last season?
I think it all depends on one thing, health. I think if these guys stay healthy, the way this defense played and the defensive line, the depth, I think if we can get, you know, hopefully Terrell Thomas can get back, the safety position, where is Ontrell going to play, you know, those kinds of things. But I think that the defense has a propensity to be a very, very good defensive unit. And you put the good defensive unit on the field with that type of offense, good things could happen again for the Giants. But, again, it's staying healthy.
And last year it was so Jekyll and Hyde. The first 14 games, they were terrible at times. In the last six games, they're pitching shutouts against Matt Ryan in the playoffs.
It was Perry Fuel. He simplified the defense.
All right, Jeff, let's go to a Twitter question. You can send them in live to hashtag Giants Chat. This question comes in from Paul C. You were asked about the punt return game. How about the kickoff return game? Who do you think is going to return the first kickoff against the Jaguars on Friday? That's his question.
I think you're going to see Darrell Scott back there again. We saw a lot of him last year, and I think they're trying to get him in the game and try to see what he can do. I also think you're going to see a lot of the younger guys. Listen, this first preseason game, the veterans don't play. They play one series and they're gone. This is a time for all the younger guys, the free agents, the rookies, to make their they got to make a name for themselves. So you're going to see a slew of all these, you know, the whole roster, other than the salty veterans, are going to be in there. So you're going to see a lot. But to be honest with you, I think Hickson's going to get a couple returns, I think, just to get him back in the swing of things. But for the most part, a lot of the younger guys.
Back to our phones at 518-437-3774. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Reggie, calling from California.
What's up, Reggie?
Hey, my question was in regards to the number three position. Dominic Hickson, how likely is it for him to win that position this season?
Well, I think it's very good if he can stay healthy. And I think that, you know, we talk about Terrell Thomas coming back from an injury and how fast he got back. And, you know, Hickson is one of those guys that I said earlier that, some guys, they get healthy quick. And Dominic is one of them.
He had two ACLs years, two in a row.
It's just incredible. And I think that he is chomping at the bit to get back on that field and stay healthy. But so that there's a lot of competition in there. You know, Randall's going to be a very high draft pick. They're going to want to get him some looks. So that's a one position to be determined soon.
And Coach loves Hickson because he knows he's going to catch the ball, and he also has the speed to make the big play.
And he's a smart player, and he's been around the system long enough, and he knows a little bit with Eli, too.
518-437-3774. Let's go back to our phones. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Wally from New Jersey.
What's up, Wally?
My question is, what kind of an impact will Wilson and Randall and Human Yor make this year?
Osi's kind of the odd man in that group, but okay.
Well, I think the other two guys we don't know, but we know the type of impact that Osi can make.
Especially if he's healthy.
Absolutely, especially if he's healthy and he doesn't have the drama, he doesn't have all the stuff, the baggage that's usually coming with it. I got to talk to Osi today and seeing him on the field, he just seems a lot happier. It seems like he doesn't have to deal with a lot of distractions. He can totally concentrate on what he's supposed to do, and that could be dangerous for a lot of offensive linemen. The other two guys, again, preseason is where we're going to see it.
And OC said earlier last week that he feels as healthy as he has, I think, since 2006 or something like that. So it's obviously a very dangerous proposition.
Absolutely.
For opposing NFL offenses. Back to our phones at 518-437-3774. Cole, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. It's Paul from Brick.
What's up, Paul?
Paul.
Hey, guys. I just want to talk about Martellus Bennett. I know we were 32nd in the run last year, but Martellus Bennett being able to block and being able to use his big body, How far can we get along with him?
That's a good question, and I'm glad you asked it, because I had a nice conversation with Coach Pope today before practice about Marcellus, and I was asking him, you know, give me the lowdown and the skinny on Marcellus. He said, listen, he's still got a little cowboy in him as far as how they do things over there. Sorry for that, cowboy fan. But most importantly, he said that he is an outstanding blocker, and he got to learn from Jason Witten for the times that he was there. So. He told me that he's trying to get him to keep his hands in a little bit more, because as he gets his hands out as a tight end position, those defensive linemen know what to do with those types of hands. But he's a very good blocker. That can help the Giants running game.
All right, Jeff. Anybody jump out at your practice here as you're about to wrap up the show?
Steve Weatherford.
You
know how to say that, right? I only came up here to watch the punt team
today.
How
about a young guy that jumped out of your practice today?
I got to say Wilson. I was watching him, and I think that once he learns to hit that hole and be the running back that they want him to be, and the agility and stuff, and kind of just understand the position of getting through that hole and make things happen after he goes through all that stuff and maybe outside, I think he's impressed me, and also Randall, the wide receiver.
That's really amazing. Everybody that's come up here has just been wowed by how good David Wilson looks, but we got to see with the young guys what they do in a preseason
game. Absolutely. That's what it's all about.
Jeff, thanks for joining us so much.
You're welcome,
great
John.
Time.
Yeah,
thank you
my
very
pleasure.
Much.
Thank you.
Giants former punter Jeff Fiegels did a great job for us right here on Giants.com, and of course, Big Blue Kickoff Kickoff Live, presented by Andrew Mark, comes your way every day after practice at 5:30 live on Giants.com. We take your calls, we take your Twitter questions, and your questions off the Giant message boards. Thank you to Jeff and our entire crew here from Albany. I am John Schmelk. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Giants.com.